Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
My name, of course, is Mark Johnston. And this is the Thriving Marriage Podcast. Today I am really excited actually to talk about mental health in marriage. We actually put out a poll the other week asking if you've ever experienced a mental health challenge during marriage. And we went into that and honestly, I was a bit surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but you know, I was looking at that and I saw, wow, the vast majority, I would say like 90% or more, answered yes, we've experienced mental health challenges within our marriage. I want to dive into that, discuss some of the answers there, talk about how to handle this challenging situation that nearly all of you are dealing with. But before we get into that, I want to get into our client win of the week. This one's coming in from Robert. Robert says that, I never honestly thought that I'd get back to this point, but for the past 4 days, me and my wife are talking. She's smiling at me and laughing. She's actually not staying locked up in the bedroom from the time she gets home till the next day. 6 months ago, the Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Saturday night prior, we went to bed as normal, and then sun came up, and it was as if I had started World War III. She was yelling at me, telling me she was going to get an attorney, we're getting divorced. I was crushed, but this whole time I have given her space. I've continued to listen, value, appreciate, I understood her, and most importantly, I've continued to show her unconditional love. Patience, everyone is the key, and willing to do whatever you have to. We're not out of the water yet, but definitely a step closer. So I want to point out, like, here's Robert who's saying he went from a situation, it was almost like World War III, back to the point where they're smiling, laughing, spending time together. Over the course of 6 months. It took time, but Robert got there. And there are always steps that you can take to improve your situation. So I always enjoy and appreciate all of you sharing the wins in the Thriving Marriage group. We do check the comments there. We do check your stories. And I really enjoy actually looking through these. So thanks, Robert, for sharing that win with us. So here's the thing. Mental health and marriage. Now, I don't know how much all of you are aware, but like generally, marriages seem to have a positive impact on mental health. That, you know, you might be saying, okay, well, we're still struggling with it, but you know, just in general, both adults and children in married families suffer less psychological distress than counterparts in divorced families. Married men tend to have lower levels of stress. Married women experience less psychological distress. Married mothers feel more love and intimacy, less ambivalence, and experience less conflict with their husbands than, you know, if they're cohabitating, and as opposed to single women do with their partners. Now, I could go on and on. These are just, it's statistics. It very well documented. They're all over the place. But essentially, marriage tends to have a positive impact on mental health in general, from less depression, anxiety, lower rates of suicide, less drinking and drug use issues, all that. But what happens when this isn't the case? Now, we talked a little bit about statistics last week. We went into a whole bunch of things. We were talking about cohabitation and, like, you know, why that was an issue and how to get around some of the challenges that, you know, if statistics show you have a more likely, you're more likely to have problems in your marriage. It's the same sort of thing here. Even though marriage tends to statistically favor people and say, you know, provide kind of a buffer against mental illness, doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. I would say, like I said earlier, the majority who answered our poll affirm that mental illness has had an impact on their marriage. I want to say it was, you know, some hundreds of people. Now, here's the thing. Mental health challenges cover a wide array of problems. things like depression or anxiety, issues to dementia, or personality disorders, eating disorders, and on and on and on. Drug dependence, alcohol dependence, all those sort of things. And what I want to say before getting into this is I will absolutely say seek professional help if this is what you're experiencing. My advice today, it's simply meant to discuss getting on the right track and some simple tips or suggestions, and should not be substituted for working directly with a professional. Now, if you are experiencing marriage issues and really want help with this, even if it's mental health issues within marriage, by all means, talk to us. We have experience with things like that. But what I'm getting at here is don't listen to the podcast today and say, okay, I've got it. I don't need any more help. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Thing is here, in a marriage, we can dive right in now. So in a marriage, dealing with mental illness challenges, we essentially have two very different experiences. Those are the partner with the mental health challenges, and those are the partner who's not experiencing a mental health challenge currently. And I point that out because I think it's really easy to step into a scenario like this and think, well, why can't my partner step out of this? Why can't they just make a decision and turn around? It's so easy for me. And that is not really a good direction to go in here. So how do you deal with a mentally ill spouse, a spouse who is dealing with a mental health challenge currently? I want to talk about it from both of those perspectives. From, if you're the one supporting a partner experiencing a mental health challenge, or if you're the one experiencing it yourself. So if you are the one supporting, if you have a mentally ill spouse, someone dealing with a mental health challenge currently, step one, make sure your own basic needs are met. Are you getting enough to eat? Are you getting enough sleep? Is safety a concern? If we look at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, these are really far down at the bottom of the list. But frequently, when these sort of things are going on, some of those items are the first to go. I can still recall a couple who were really at odds with each other, and the husband was feeling depressed and was feeling as though nothing was going to work between the two of them. What was going on? Neither one of them were getting enough sleep. The husband, he was having sleep issues. He was getting like 3 to 4 hours a night, if that. And the wife, the primary client that I was working with, was getting like 4 or 5 hours a night. Suffice it to say, that was a big concern of mine and was really a huge obstacle in making anything work in their marriage. But it made it also a big problem to address the depression that was there within the relationship. So if any of these things are missing, that should be the priority for first. If you're not getting that sleep or enough good enough nutrition, if you are feeling as though this is a dangerous situation to be in, those need to be addressed. And I'm going to say that, look out for your partner, but especially make yourself a priority first, especially on these items. If you it's kind of like the, when you go in the airlines and they're talking about like the oxygen mask. And if in an emergency the oxygen masks come down, what do they always tell you? They tell you to put the mask on yourself first and then help those around you. Because if you are in trouble, if you are struggling, how are you going to support other people? The second thing that I'm going to recommend here is be okay with being uncomfortable. Be okay with being uncomfortable. By far, this is like if you're looking to get past those obstacles, if you're trying to break up those patterns, this is the way to go. Changes are going to need to happen. And I can say that almost universally, everyone that I talk to, change is also highly uncomfortable for most people. Certainly, we have a lot of very motivated individuals. We have people who are ready to change. But, there's usually a catalyst to this. There's usually a lot of pain that precedes this. It's something that is really pushing them to face some of that discomfort. Oftentimes, if I encounter a scenario where someone isn't sure where to start in terms of change or supporting their spouse in change, I tell them to look where there's a high amount of discomfort and start looking there. Is your partner really uncomfortable with having discussions about the relationship, but they're wanting things to be different? Okay, then this is an area that needs to be explored a little bit. And if you aren't yourself willing to touch on those uncomfortable spots, how are you going to support your spouse who needs that support? Item three in terms of recommendations is fighting for your spouse and while holding accountability. Your spouse will benefit from you being proactive and fighting for their health. A lot of mental illness tends to self-perpetuate. Depressive symptoms tend to lead towards not wanting to seek out help. Anxiety sort of disorders, they tend to lead towards people leaning into that anxiety rather than trying to break out of that pattern. And that's what a lot of these things are. They're patterns of behavior that allow someone to cope in some ways. And so that it's hard for them to step out of those patterns. But you, if you're not dealing with any of these challenges currently, are able to be there and fight for them. And you might need to take some action, with their permission, usually is recommended. But it's just someone, it's important to convey the message that they aren't in this alone. Now, it is easy to fall into the role of an enabler, enabling poor behavior or supporting people to remain stuck in their unhealthy patterns. This is not what I'm recommending at all. If you have a depressed spouse and they're laying in bed all day with the curtains drawn and the lights out and they're sleeping 16 hours a day, and they're doing that day after day after day, you don't go in there and, fight for them by saying, okay, I'm going to take care of everything around them. That's not what I'm saying. You need to be there and you need to hold your partner accountable. Now, this is a tricky scenario. It's really easy to step into that role where you're holding them accountable and it can backfire. This is why I go back to like my previous warning here. Make sure that if you're struggling with these sort of things, you seek out professional help, because this is hard. It's tough to figure out. Last tip here, if you are supporting a mentally ill spouse, is keep seeking a solution. Overcoming mental illness is challenging. It's challenging, and inevitably there are going to be attempts to change that fail. And this is where a lot of people get stuck. They say, well, I went to the counselor once and it didn't work, so why bother? Or I went and tried the 12-step group for a few weeks and then I relapsed. Why bother? Why should I bother if they're failing at these attempts? Now, if this were a simple choice to set down some of these mental health issues, or if a simple solution existed, then your partner wouldn't be struggling. Having backup plans or intentions to keep trying can help you get into the right mindset to continue forward. I remember someone very close to me opening up and sharing their experience in dealing with some addiction. And they said they went to 12-step groups, they went to other self-help groups, they went to, I'm trying to remember the exact number, it's somewhere between like 2 to 4 counselors. They went to, lots of different places, and they kept having the same issues. Now, why I bring this up is each time, this is what he was sharing with me, each time he felt like it wasn't enough and he was failing, but when he looks back on it, he said, each time I took away something new and I learned something new from the experience until I was able to build up on all the lessons that he had learned and, was able to overcome things by continuing on. And that's what I'm getting at here is, don't allow yourself or your partner to fall into the mindset that because a solution hasn't worked, then that's the end. So if your partner is willing to accept your help, you got to keep going. So let's flip this over to the other side. If you are the one dealing with your own mental illness challenges within the context of a marriage, like I said, it's challenging. I'm thinking back to the story I just told, where this individual, this friend of mine, kept trying over and over again. He kept trying different solutions here and there. He was relating to me what ended up being the one of the big lessons that he had learned was to be open, to be vulnerable, and to communicate. So I can only guess. I don't have all the details, but I can only guess that one of the, if this is one of the lessons that he had, one of the issues that he had in his marriage was not communicating when he was struggling. And then he and his wife would have a lot of arguments and fights over these scenarios. And if you are struggling with mental illness, make sure that you communicate if you're struggling. If you're worried about not being accepted in your struggles, I would recommend communicate that. If you fear that your spouse can't handle you struggling, I would say communicate that as well. This is a scenario that can build up a lot of trust in a relationship. Can you, be open enough to communicate struggles and frustrations with each other in a healthy way? I will admit that this is a challenging thing. Even I talk about how to communicate and how to repair relationships all day. There are some areas that I struggle a little bit communicating with my wife, Jennifer. We work on that. And what I'm getting at is it's not easy, but this is a route forward to deal with deep-seated issues. So if you're struggling with that, with being open, with being vulnerable, that's something that you should be aiming for. Part of this discussion should be discussing where you need support. Are you depressed? Would it be helpful if your partner pushed you to get some help? If you are really feeling anxious, what are you needing from your partner to feel a little bit more calm? What are you needing from them to help move forward and get some solutions? Excuse me. It's a lot about communication. So, like I was saying earlier, be open, be vulnerable, communicate. Part of that is discussing where you need support and make sure that you are being vocal about that. And I see far, far too often people struggling, saying, I can't open up. I can't tell them where I'm struggling. They're not going to accept that. They're going to get defensive about it. They're going to tell me that, they're already trying. Well, then you need to find a way to make that a more acceptable scenario. Discussing where you need support is necessary. If there are obstacles in the way, then you need to get some help to address those obstacles. And much like I said to the people who are supporting their spouse, I do think that you should be always working towards a solution. Too frequently I see people get into that same rut that I was just talking about. They say, I tried this and now it's a struggle and I failed and I'm not going to try anymore. Therapy, coaching, getting out of the house with friends, anything, but you need to work towards taking steps in tackling this. Beyond that, I would recommend discuss with your spouse whether your solution is having an impact and to adjust if necessary. If you're saying, hey, all I need is some time to myself with some drinks, fine. If that's your solution, go to that. But then you need to be open to having that discussion about whether that is actually solving the problems. If you're saying, hey, I just need some space and time, I need to put this aside for a second. Wonderful. Fine. I'm absolutely perfectly fine with that solution. Just make sure that you're evaluating that and determining whether that is actually a real solution. You can do your partner a world of good if you are struggling with mental illness. If you can give them that assurance that you are actively trying to pursue something that works. Even if there's a series of failures, if you are working towards the solution, it gives a lot of security. And likewise, much like I said to people supporting a spouse with mental illness, I will say take care of your basic needs. It just I keep thinking over and over again about the couple who was getting ready for divorce, and all the biggest problem that I saw with them was they weren't getting enough sleep. And really, a lot of their problems could have gone away. The tragic part of that story is the husband, even with my recommendation to get more sleep than 3 hours a night, refused to believe that that was the problem. He said he does just fine, and he doesn't need more than 3 hours of sleep. And that's just, by the way, that's just scientifically wrong. It just there's a lot of sleep studies out there. And anyways, I don't need to get into that. You cannot get by and make this work if you are not regularly taking care of your basic needs. So I hope this helps. Like I said, this is not a substitute for it's not a substitute for therapy. It's not a substitute for coaching. These are just some basic tips that if you are struggling with this, I want you to kind of use this to kick yourself into gear and like get started on something. I would love to have some discussions with all of you. If you are needing support in this, me and my team are here to help. And please put it into the comments. If you're saying, hey, I need some support here, we would love to talk with you. There are absolutely ways to get in contact with us. Put it into the comments. We can contact you over Facebook or wherever you're listening to this. With that said, I would like to discuss our marriage mythbuster. I actually kind of found this one amusing, and what's funny is, in a roundabout way, I see shades of this in a lot of places. The myth this week is married people know what they're doing. And I found this amusing. And while, logically we say, well, no, I don't know what I'm doing all the time, the fact is that most people unconsciously kind of believe that they know exactly what they're doing with their relationship. The fact is, married people do not know what they're doing by and large. I want to ask you all a question. Where do we get our ideas in terms of how marriages work? It certainly isn't from classes or professionals. The statistic here is that only around, I'm looking off of American stats, around 5 to 8% of people report having taken premarital counseling. 5 to 8% is not a lot of people. So that means like 5 to 8% of people are really like looking at this and saying, how do I prepare to be in a healthy relationship? And so we can see the vast majority of people are not taking that step. So where do we get our ideas from how marriages should work, how relationships should work? Mostly, we understand how relationships work by observing our immediate surroundings. Growing up, we look at our parents, maybe your aunts and uncles, maybe older siblings. We take on the rules, expectations, and norms of how relationships function based off of what we see growing up. If you think about this, what is a normal relationship? I would be very surprised if any of you look at how your parents interacted or older individuals in your life interacted while you were growing up and said, that's not normal. Now, there are some cases where you can see, okay, there's a lot of fighting, there's an extreme amount of unhealth, and you say, well, that's not normal. I want to be different. But the truth here is, even in that scenario where you're saying, I'm going to be different from my parents, a lot of times we still take on unconsciously a lot of the same characteristics, a lot of the same behaviors as what we observed growing up. As an example, I love my parents. I thought they did a great job considering the circumstances. We had 8 kids in our family, and that's a stressful scenario. As I stepped into the role as a parent, I said to myself, I'm going to be more present with my own children than my parents were. Now, I don't begrudge my parents at all. Not at all. I recognize that they worked very hard for me and my siblings as parents, but just the fact of the matter is there wasn't always a lot of one-on-one attention. So this is something that I wanted to be different. Now, what ended up happening is, I see some characteristics that in my own relationship with my children or in my relationship with my wife that I recognize in my parents. And this is what I'm getting at. Like, even me, who I try to be very aware of these sort of situations, I find myself falling back into that from time to time. I'm going to say this is why, if you get divorced, statistics show your children have a higher rate of divorce. While the converse is also true, a strong, dedicated couple tends to have children with healthier relationships as well. Part of the problem is that most people don't actively evaluate or examine the rules that they have developed around relationships. They simply look at their perspective as the norm most of the time. Therefore, a lot of problems can come up, especially when there are differences in values, religious beliefs, or expectations within a relationship. And so, what I'm getting at here is this idea that everyone knows how a relationship should function. Everyone should be able to anticipate their partner's needs because that's just what's expected. It's false. And the way out of this pitfall is being willing to examine your own perceptions of what the rules are in a relationship and being willing to discuss those rules. Being willing to negotiate and be flexible on some of those rules leads to a healthier relationship. So that's all I have for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about how to reduce drama, tension, and stress in your marriage within 24 hours. So if you have a ton of tension, if your partner is not talking to you, if you just can't, are constantly at odds, or that you can just feel it in the air that there's something between the two of you, do you want to reduce that? Do you want to like drop that within the next day? We have some answers for you next week. Thank you all for listening in. We'd love to see you all here later on, and we'll get Heather in here next week as well, and we'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.